Pull up a chair. You're invited to this table. Today we'll have conversation about faith and friendship, and we're gonna feast on the word again. In this episode, we begin the conversation in 1 Peter as we focus on living hope. So we are back at the table in Arizona in Carol's kitchen right here with the black checkered behind us.
Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see on the hutch that I have, and it's just been really fun to have you here, Athena. And what, so far, what is, besides spending time with me, of course, what is the highlight that you have experienced here in Arizona?
Well, just to be able to have a special time set aside this last Friday night where we had our authors in Arizona drive from all points of Arizona to come to break bread together and just to meet some of those authors that we've never met in person. It's always been on Zoom or on the phone or on FaceTime or whatever. And so it was just so delightful to actually get to hug them and break bread with them and just get to know them better. And then also having the team there, having Heather and Mary both with us, because we're a virtual team. And so we're spread all over the country, but we've got some significant people here in Arizona. And so it was just delightful to spend some time with them.
For sure. We have a lot of fun together. So as we begin this episode, we are going to talk through, so we're just diving into 1 Peter, and so we're going to be in 1 Peter 1, 1 through 12 today. And really the whole theme of 1 Peter, as we talked about in the introduction, is really on hope. And it's not like the kind of hope, like I hope so kind of hope, it's the no so kind of hope because of Jesus. It's not this blind optimism. It is actually rooted deeply in the fact that no matter what happens, we are secure.
And it's being able to see and learn and rejoice, even when it is not going well. Rejoice no matter what, even when it's bad. And people are watching. Mm-hmm. And so they see that.
Yeah. So we're going to just walk through verses 1 through 12. And we're going to start with this little introduction that Peter gives us. So Athena, go ahead and read those verses.
All right. So this is 1 through 2. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace.
So good. So we're talking, or Peter is actually talking to elect exiles. And that word of who he is calling the people is so important because these are people who don't really fit in the place that they are because of their belief in Jesus. So he's outside of Jerusalem where he was called to the dispersion. So those people that were in Jerusalem and then they were dispersed, whether it's because of persecution or moving for some reason, they were dispersed throughout the world. And now Peter is going to speak to them. And they are recognizing that they don't fit in the world that they are living in. They're kind of uncomfortable. They're not really settled. And that's exactly how we are because we are exiles here in our world.
And we should feel not that comfortable in our world because it's so dark and so worldly and we are aliens, right? Yeah.
The only way we can really live here in this world is because of the hope that we have in Jesus. And it's that hope that has to take really deep roots. But we also have to recognize that in this world, even though it is not our home, that we are made for today. Like we have a reason that God has placed us here in this particular time to walk in the calling that He's given us in order to bring people to the gospel.
Mm. All right. So
I wanted to mention one more thing.
All right.
All right.
I'm getting ahead of you.
I know. So in verse 2, what I love about verse 2 specifically is it talks about that God has this foreknowledge. So he's not surprised about what is happening. And then it goes on to encompass the entire Trinity. So you have, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, in obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood. And so we have this, the Trinity, the Godhead, the union of Father, Son, and Spirit are evident in the lives of believers so that they can walk out their calling. And he gives us that promise right here.
Mm, what a good foundation for this particular book that is going to challenge us, but it's going to encourage us. Mm. All right, so verses 3 through 5. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see.
So we're reading the verses from the New Living Translation, but when I study personally, I use ESV. And what do you use?
I use the NASB.
All right. So sometimes our notes and what we're talking through may not exactly align with the verbiage that's used in the translation that we're just reading. It's a very easy translation to read and understand. But I love in this passage, so verses 3 through 5, we are really focusing on that living hope. And it does say that he has caused us to be born again into a living hope. And why is living hope? Why is the hope that's living so important?
Well, because when it's living and we are experiencing it and it is affecting us and it is like changing us, so we're continually sanctified and made new. And that is a huge thing, that it's not just like you said, well, I hope things are going to be good. No, this is a living hope that is the real deal.
Yeah. And the living hope is grounded in the resurrection.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we read that like our hope comes from the resurrection. Our hope is alive. And we say it so nonchalantly, but yet that is the very foundation of why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. Our faith is rooted there. And so we can't really let that just be said and not recognize the importance of the living hope. We serve the only living God.
Well, and the fact that that Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that makes that hope living, that's a powerful force that is in us, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. Like, that's huge. Mm,
it is huge. And what did he raise us for? Well, he raised us to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So everything that we have this side of glory fades. Everything in our homes, everything in our bank account, everything that we strive for here on earth fades away, but God has something so much better. And I think when we recognize the inheritance that he has for us in heaven, it allows us to continue to walk out where we're called to walk, even when it's hard. Mm. And he does say that who by God's power, so this inheritance, is being guarded through faith and salvation.
I love that one. That just jumped off the page at me this morning, because when he guards us by God's power, he is guarding our hearts and guarding that faith in us. And I actually looked that up and saw that different translations say that through faith, we are shielded by God's power. We are protected. We are kept. We are guarded. We are kept safe. We are garrisoned. I love those words. Mm. That's like strong language that God is not just up there going, yeah, whatever, have a nice life. No, he is guarding us and shielding us.
Mm. And when we recognize the guarding that he does to us, to our inheritance that he has, that will never fade away, we can go all the way back to the beginning of verse 3 where it says blessed, and we can really captivate the joy that our life is marked by when we recognize who we are in Christ, no matter what is happening to us.
Yeah. Amen. All right. So starting in verse 6, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls.
This part takes us into the second theme that we are going to see throughout 1 Peter, and that is the theme of suffering, and we all do suffer. In verse 6, it says, in this you rejoice. What is this? It's in our inheritance. We're rejoicing, but there is going to be some suffering that will come.
And God uses that suffering to test us, to help us see where our hearts are and do some real examination. And that is such a precious thing for him to do. It's like, this is going to hurt me more than it's hurting you, but I need to see this growth. He wants to sanctify us and conform us to the likeness of his son.
And I think it really does speak to, do we really believe him? Do we really believe that Jesus is enough, that our inheritance is enough, that even when we are going through these times of suffering, that we are completely dependent on him?
Well, when I was taking notes this morning, one of the things I jotted down was that those trials come to us for a purpose. So God allows the suffering to grow and prove our faith. And, you know, so often you hear people just rebuking the enemy all over the place for a trial. And we forget sometimes that God allowed that trial, or you wouldn't be experiencing it. We wouldn't be experiencing it. So, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want to work in me that I'm not seeing right now because I don't like this? But that is just such a healthy place to get to, when we can ask him to teach us whatever he wants to teach us through that trial.
And trials, if we allow them to, can really make us bitter instead of allowing them to make us better.
Yep.
Because he does have that purpose within what he's allowing to have in our life. I think so often when trials come into our life, we ask God to remove them immediately. I mean, it's just like, God, you know, and there is the time where I know I've gone through things and it's like, just help, right? Just help me.
Please, like, stop this.
Stop this. Get it away. Help me through it. But there is a point to our suffering. And if we can really ask God, like, what am I going to learn about you, about your character? What am I going to learn about me? I know when I have been put to the fire, there have been times that I have failed just like Peter, that I've denied, that I have gone my own way. And thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit inside of me that convicts me immediately. But it's just that point of, like, allowing, taking that stand, doing the hard things, even when it's going to hurt.
And even if the trial goes on and on and on, And, you know, Paul asked three times to have that thorn taken away from him, and it didn't go away. So just how are we going to be sanctified and purified by that trial? What does God want to bring out of it?
That's so good. And then verse 8, we have not seen him. So even though we have not seen him, so Peter is talking to a group of people that hadn't actually experienced Jesus. They hadn't seen the crucifixion. Right. They hadn't seen the resurrection. And, you know, many of them were already dispersed by the time, if they were alive during the time of, you know, Jesus on earth, they were already in these other places. And so Peter is going to them and says, even though you haven't seen him, you love him. And though you still don't see him, you are going to believe and rejoice and have joy that is inexpressibly and filled with glory. And this is going to be the outcome of your faith. We learn what we actually believe when we go through trials. And as these individuals were facing their trials, they would be able to recognize, is my hope in Jesus or is my hope in myself and my circumstances? Because remember, they're living in a time where they're just bothered by what's happening in their world. And we are very bothered by our world and the things that are happening around us. And yet we can recognize that God is there with us and that he has a purpose for us. Even now, that will refine us to that place of purity.
Yeah, he wouldn't be allowing us to experience it if he didn't have a plan for making the most of that pain. He never wastes our pain.
So good.
All right. So starting in verse 10, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen.
I love this part of this first section of 1 Peter, because Peter is reminding us that there are these prophets that came, and we studied the prophets in the Old Testament, and John the Baptist was a prophet, and he came and he proclaimed the what was to come or what is coming. And now he's saying this was spoken of them. They weren't telling themselves about it, although it did help the people during that time period to have hope as well. But because now it's been revealed to you, much of the prophecy has been revealed within Jesus, and all the yes and amen, as Paul says, is found in Jesus. And so it's not serving themselves, but it's serving you. Also in verse 11, where it says, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. The truth that the Spirit of God lives within believers, and in the prophet that I think one of the prophets he's actually talking about here is Joel, because Joel actually speaks to when the Holy Spirit would come and fill the people and the pouring out of his Spirit, and that happened at Pentecost. And so he's reminding them there is a Spirit of Christ in you that is going to help you preach the good news and continue that calling that you are going to live out. I really believe that he is telling us here not to walk through life blindly, not to see things as the world sees them, but to see them through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of the Spirit. And we can't lose sight of reality. We have to recognize what's happening around us. And it's hard things, but we also, as women, as men who are called by God to walk in our calling, knowing that it's not going to be easy, but we have a living hope that even though suffering will come, we can depend on the future glory that lays ahead of us.
Amen. So wrapping this up and now moving toward our next episode, where we're going to get to talk about holy living. And that, whoo, Peter does some great work in this next episode. So we're excited for you to join us for that. So you are invited. You always have a seat at this table. So come on and pull up a chair. In a world eager for stories that inspire and transform, one name stands at the forefront of proclaiming the faithfulness of God. Redemption Press, proud sponsor of At This Table podcast, is more than just a publisher. We are a family driven by a mission to amplify voices of faith, hope, and truth. With excellence as our heartbeat, we intertwine passion for storytelling with respect for your message, ensuring your vision shines without compromise. Because here, your message is our mission. Join us in our journey to impact lives and expand the kingdom of God through the power of the written word. Your story matters. Let's share it with the world. For more information, click the link in the show notes.